tomorrow for those.
Your favorite radio station has been characterized as too conservative, too right-wing, too one-sided, too biased. Oh, we are we? Funny thing is, those who hold those beliefs never listen to KSCO, so they don't hear John Muth, Eric Scheck, Ted Jefferson, or Paul Brindell. Oh, it's true that KSCO talk hosts and callers frequently express frustration and outrage at the political antics of those who run our local government, but we consistently encourage dialogue and expression of all points of view, even from the mayor of Santa Cruz, Scott Kennedy, the confirmed guest on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Bury the Hatchet Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
And we had a situation where I don't remember the exact details, but 10 years ago, when the progressives first had a majority on the council, they tried to propose what was, at the time, one of the most sweeping most stringent rent control ordinances, what would have been one of the most stringent rent control ordinances in the state. And a petition campaign, a referendum, basically was marshaled, which forced the council to retract their action. So this was an example where the council didn't tuck itself comfortably under the wing of other cities that had already established rent control, but tried to far outpace in a single jump to move to the head of the pack. I'm saying that because we've had a similar argument about civilian review of police, where I've been criticized for being too timid in our approach to that. We're not trying to create the state-of-the-art police review commission. We're trying to get something in place because there's a lot of case law, a lot of other cities' experiences. But because of that, I think basically, if you went person by person, I think probably the majority of the Santa Cruz City Council would favor some sort of rent control. But the progressives in Santa Cruz, I think, are politically gun-shy because it's been...
Are you willing to take the initiative as a mayor now, political leader of the city?
Probably not, for a couple of reasons. You know,
yeah.
It's a partly political judgment, but people, most effective politicians don't go out of their way to embarrass their other council members.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you're... Well, I'm not talking about violations of the Brown Act, but unless in your judgment you really think there's a chance to take a certain action, unless you're grandstanding, it doesn't really pay to
I wonder if you people ever thought of the economic benefits that you might derive by rent control.
Sure.
I don't mean confiscating the landlord's right to make a profit now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about reasonable rent. And
we did, I will say, it's small potatoes, but I did initiate an offer, and we did succeed in passing, in extending mobile home rent control to Santa Cruz in our tenure, but that's the only...
We have them in Watsonville for some strange reason, but they will not look at the overall picture.
I think it's fair to say that rent control does have a mixed experience in California.
It's a very dirty issue to a lot of people, and I've met a lot of opposition to it, too, you know, from people who rent, too, by the way.
Yep.
And I was going to say that, Scott, you would simply release a lot of purchasing power in the tenants who would go downtown and support your local merchants. I think you'd find... a greater economic progress there.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Watsonville, John, appreciate your call as always. Now, Ted Jefferson, you've been shaking your head continuously.
About rent control, that's not only is it a bad political issue, but it goes right to the very heart of a capitalistic government. And I'd rather ask the mayor about some of the bees that are buzzing around in the bond. And as you know, I do a radio talk show here every Saturday night from 8 to 10. And a lot of my callers are concerned about the quality of life in downtown Santa Cruz. And that might sound like a mixed message there, but we've had callers that talk about public urination, the panhandling law, the homeless issue, and I understand now that there's a group of people that are going to challenge the right to assembly law regulation that was recently passed. They say when it goes into effect on the 23rd, they're going to have a demonstration. Why are we having so much controversy about something to me? And again, I need to make my point clear on this. I've told people that they call in that if I owned a business in downtown Santa Cruz and people were standing out in front of my business that I didn't want there, I'd water my lawn. Yeah. What's the issue? What's the real deal here?
There's been a lot of discussion on all of these points, and even in the downtown recovery plan, there were a lot of discussions. I remember I felt that one of my first major contributions politically was the argument about, believe it or not, benches in downtown Santa Cruz. There's very strong sentiment among some in the business community that there should be no benches in downtown Santa Cruz in the new mall because it was an attractive social nuisance. We fought for and succeeded in getting 54 benches placed in downtown Santa Cruz. My view is an elderly person, a shopper who's just plain exhausted from leaving us money, parent with children, people have to be able to sit down. So we fought through a fair amount of political flack to have a downtown that's pedestrian friendly, benches and so on. Okay, people say, why isn't Santa Cruz like Carmel or Pacific Grove? Well, for a lot of reasons. No question, as a city of license, there is more permissibility in Santa Cruz. I mean, there's a, not just among the progressives. If you talk to your rank-and-file conservative in Santa Cruz, they're more liberal in their social attitudes towards diversity and so on than in other surrounding communities. The thing that most people don't realize is Santa Cruz City is the county seat of Santa Cruz County. The comparison would be more with Salinas in Santa Cruz than Monterey and Pacific Grove in Santa Cruz. We have the county jail facility a block and a half from Pacific Avenue. Every public inebriant who is busted and jailed, typically 4 hours later, is released a block and a half from the city of Santa Cruz, main commercial street. That's not true of any other city in the city of Santa Cruz. It's not true of a lot of cities in other counties. So we definitely have major, what, you know, for shorthand, we call social problems. Now, what have we done about it? We have taken a whole series of aggressive actions way before those so-called panhandling ordinances. Let me just run through a few of them to give you an idea of the scope. We're funding what's called the Homeless Day Resource Center, a Community Day Resource Center. This is a place where people can shower, use laundry facilities, leave their belongings in secure lockers, get phone messages, and have access to everything from drug and alcohol abuse counseling to job training and psychological
services. Don't they still curse you for not providing enough?
Actually, I think this is an important distinction, not probably more important to me than other people, but no, they don't. They are very grateful for the fact that if they're, for example, camping...
Certain factions of the homeless, maybe.
No, when you're on the city council, you realize that the half dozen most outspoken people, Robert Norris, David Wonton Jacobs, Food Not Bombs, they also have very little credibility in the so-called homeless community because they are constantly, when they're not attacking us, which is fair game because we're elected officials, they're attacking the service providers who are trying to do real things for homeless people. That's a whole other discussion. But what I want to say is we've tried to give people an alternative to hanging on the street in Pacific Avenue. We work closely with the Downtown Association for what's called Santa Cruz Cares. This is a voucher system that's worked very well in other cities where if somebody asks you for a quarter or a buck, you give them a voucher that's good for food or clothing but can't be used for alcohol or other substances like that. We have funded, with the help of the county mental health, and a lot of people made fun of this too, but I think it's very important, county mental health caseworker, whose whole beat, if you were, is the downtown Pacific Avenue. All they do is try to make contact with people who have serious psychological or mental problems, emotional problems, and to make sure that they're on their medication, that they're in their therapy groups, that they're getting the kind of help they need. We funded and helped to start what's called the Santa Cruz Hospitality Program. That was ridiculed also. It's a program where there will be several people on the street. They aren't police. They aren't law enforcement people. They're people who will help tourists understand where there's parking, where there's restrooms. If there's a problem, if a group of kids are hanging on in front of somebody's business, they'll be able, with a softer touch than the police, to come and say, you know, please move along. You've been here for 2 hours. Let's move on. We've also reconfigured, the police department has reconfigured their staff assignments so there will be increased police presence. I think the point I'm trying to make is we've tried to approach this comprehensively. There's a tendency in public debate to focus on a single point as though that's going to solve or not solve it. Believe me, none of us are so deluded to think that these new, stricter downtown ordinances are going to make the difference. There will still be people on the street. We haven't tried to outlaw people from the streets. What we've tried to do is address certain behaviors that are absolutely unacceptable in a public space. And that's what we're trying to address. And I know it's not as strict as some. I mean, I get phone calls from a lot of people saying, just get those people off the streets and out here. And I say, hey, this is the United States of America. Because you're poor, because you're disheveled, doesn't mean you can't sit. Now, we will say you can't sit in front of somebody's business. You can't sit in front of a ready teller machine. You can't sit on the curb. But if somebody wants to sit on a bench, frankly, I hold to the notion that they have the right to do that. And having fought for the benches to be there to begin with, I still am taking that position.
Concerned citizen has something to say.
Scott, I completely am with you as far as the rights of individuals to be able to have personal liberty, but I would cite to you that not a single one of my women friends feel comfortable going to downtown Santa Cruz by themselves, and I would ask you, what about their rights?
Yeah.
I would say that particularly, and this is a very sore topic for many people in Santa Cruz County, particularly that the people in most cases who are coming up and accosting them are supported not only by a direct result of the handouts, but also by programs funded by these same tax-paying citizens, are offended by their inability to go into the metropolitan center of their own community without being harassed and confronted. And that is fundamentally an abrogation of their rights.
What would you suggest, Larry? What would you suggest? I mean, I'm seeing both sides of this issue, and believe me, when my callers call, and I get a lot of callers, there's certain behaviors that are just not acceptable, and I'm sure that we address that whenever we can. But what I'm hearing is that it's almost like a class distinction.
No, I don't even think it's that. I think that a society has an obligation to provide basic services for its citizenry.
Okay.
Amongst those are protection, and there are also certainly medical care and things like that. But I also feel that when you're in a society that, particularly in Santa Cruz, when you're confronted with people who are obviously able-bodied, who have what appears to be a ready mind and complete faculties, yet are making the choice not to work, and instead of not working, are sustaining themselves by harassing community members who do make the decision to work and take funds from them by direct result of harassment. And I have to be succinct in this statement. People give money because they want to be left alone. That's wrong.
Okay, and I think again, the government can do so much. And I think the people have to do so much. In other words, not a lot, but I often get asked, do I have any spare change? And I just take the time to deliver this lecture. Yes, I do have spare change. I worked like heck to get it, and I'll be darned if I'm giving it to you. Get out of my face and get to stepping. I know everybody doesn't have that same kind of force, but again, that guy has a right to beg. I don't believe in giving to beggars.
Believe it or not, in the debate publicly, there were a lot of people stood up and said, there's absolutely no problem downtown Santa Cruz. And it was left to the city council members to say, wait a minute, it may not be a problem for you, but it is a problem. And I pointed out, not to get racial or gender specific about it, but basically we had a whole string of white males between the ages of 18 and 30 who came and spoke in the public hearings to say, it's no problem. Why are you guys overreacting? I say, when my 11-year-old daughter is afraid to walk down the street, or when I go visit a private school on Pacific Avenue and they say that for them to walk to the Taco Bell or Loud Nelson Center, they have to run a gauntlet of people who aren't panhandling but are extorting funds from young people. Or when a 72-year-old woman gets out of her car, goes to step up on the curb, and there's 12 young, I suppose, teenagers planted there, and they won't extend the common courtesy of stepping aside so that she can step up on the curb without worrying about falling over or breaking her hip or something like that, something's wrong. We are not saying that there's nothing wrong. We're trying to address the problems with a whole variety of responses. Now, on your specific question, I don't think it's exactly fair or accurate, or at least I'm not persuaded that there's this great overlap between the problematic people downtown and the social service programs, nonprofits that are serving the homeless. For example, many of the people who are the most problematic downtown are acute alcoholics. And if you're under the influence and possession of alcohol, you're prohibited from participating in all the meal programs and overnight shelter and stuff like that. But the point is, we have a society that creates alcoholics, or helps create alcoholics, a lot faster than we provide therapy for them or any kind of alternative to them. We don't have the resources to address the whole problem, but we're trying to address it on a whole variety of fronts. And I would say, I don't want to oversell it, But I would say that for people who've been skeptical or turned off or had a bad experience, I'd say give us one or two more months and give Santa Cruz a shot this summer. The key thing, as far as I'm concerned, for the revitalization of downtown is to get more people down there. You can't eradicate the so-called problem. You have to dilute it. We're working aggressively on the economic development front. When you get the theater complexes down there, you get Ross clothing stores, you're going to see a revival downtown where I think you do in a more humane way, which is just to have more people on the street. And I just ask, you know, give us a chance a couple months from now, give another shot and see if the situation isn't dramatically improved.
And Scott, I would speak to that. I would say that the citizenry of the county, certainly at large, would have to take some responsibility for this also. And we need to come together and come down and take back our street.
Yeah.
In this
and
case, one Pacific Garden is the center of our community at large.
And we talked about this with merchants after the January, the New Year's Eve riot. We had Neil Coonerty and I had a meeting with 50 or 60 really outraged retailers and business people from downtown. We didn't deny or try to excuse. I mean, they had good reason to be mad. But amongst themselves, they said, we have got to be proactive. We've got to go out in front of our store. If we're concerning, we have to be willing to testify to the police. We have to be willing to go to court. It takes a kind of a community-wide, and we want to stop it far short of vigilantism and far short of stigmatizing the homeless, and that's where we still get in trouble because we're not willing to exercise the kind of rhetoric that a lot of people want to hear at the expense of poor people.
Monterey Bay, you are listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with Michael Z, Mayor Scott Kennedy from the city of Santa Cruz, a concerned citizen named Larry, and KSCO's talk show host Ted Jefferson, the weekend rapper whose program can be heard on this.
There's just not enough time, but I've made two pages of notes while I was on hold before I get to my main topic. One, on this next demonstration downtown, which is scheduled to coincide with the sidewalk sale, I'd suggest to you, Scott, that there's going to be a real public safety issue with a bunch of people with tables full of goods and shoppers milling around and then these bums trying to make their point. Of course, they didn't bother to get a permit and were refused a permit. So I hope that between you and the police, you can get something going to protect the merchants and their customers during this tumult. Also, for your information, regarding the Brown Act, you made some remarks in the first hour to indicate that you and your folks on the city council have been doing all sorts of public disclosure even before the Brown Act. The Brown Act has been in effect for over 40 years, so...
I just meant it was amended on April 1st.
That's right, but
requiring things that we've been doing already.
Well, most of the things that were required for 40 years, but unfortunately it was so vague that no one could ever be successfully prosecuted under it, so we'll hope for some change on that. Also, regarding the situation downtown, I would hope you would take a proactive stance on trying to get the booking center relocated to the Mid-County Jail so that the drunks, punks, and skunks are not just released downtown. And, you know, in terms of River Street...
We're trying to negotiate that with Scotts Valley, but they're not really...
Al, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
Well, there's a Mid-County Jail that's already sitting there, not been given enough funds to open for lack of staff funding. So if they open that up, they could all be carted down there and put in for 4 to 6 hours to detox and then released and let them walk back to town, as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, the old philosophy, if you don't want the stray cats, no invidious comparison meant between humans and cats, but if you don't want the stray cats hanging around, don't feed them. And we certainly provide a lot of shelter and food services in here that attract people to come and use our town as their own vacation resort at our expense, and then they trash it. They sleep in our parks. They crap in our woods. I'd like to know if there's any figures available on just how many job placements or successful counseling has been done at the homeless day shelter. I would guarantee you that's just a figurehead to make yourselves look good. Now, also, you made a remark the other night on the show when you were on and you were discussing the INS and Mr. Chavez, and you made the remark that I thought was totally stupid. You said the big problem arose because INS didn't arrest him when he was released from prison. Well, they made up for their mistake by arresting him after one of your friends had hired him illegally. So your stance is totally without any merit as far as I'm concerned. You mentioned rent control. Rent control has a tendency to destroy the local rental stock because landlords lose the incentive to keep them maintained. And it's just sort of coincidental in my mind that the three times rent control was attempted here in Santa Cruz, it was put forward by none other than Arnie Fishman, who now heads up the Community Housing Corporation, which I guess is a job that you and he and some of his other friends created for him after he couldn't succeed in the political venue. And I'd like you, when I get done with you here, Scott, to discuss the new...
I thought you were going to say step out in the parking lot.
You'll have to invite me on your show again.
I'll have you on real soon. We have a lot to talk about. The Nearly Lagoon Housing Project, anyone I know didn't...
Kane, I said this to you before, Beth. It's not convincing, and I can understand why not. The first action I took as a member of the Public Safety Subcommittee of the Santa Cruz City Council was to review the crime statistics in Santa Cruz and say, where is the crime and where is the deployment of our law enforcement? And what we discovered was that the highest incidence or percentage of crime was the beach flats, and that was not the location where the highest deployment of police officers. And we said, we want to deploy the police where the crime is. I'm speaking as a progressive liberal, okay? Secondly, we said in order to try and get the upper hand on some of the street dealing and so on, what's the next step that you need? The police chief said, we don't need one or two new officers. We need a quantum leap up to what they called then a directed patrol unit or neighborhood action team. And the Santa Cruz City Council funded in the tune of $300,000 to $350,000 a year, a new directed patrol unit. I don't know when the last increase in the staffing is, but... in the Santa Cruz City Council, but we actually increased the size of the first action of the council when I was on was to increase the size of the police force. So what we have is a situation where the problems are created, generated, multiplied so quickly, I wouldn't claim that we have the upper hand on it. I think the characterization of the beach flats is worse than it was in the last 14 years is partly kind of partisan, frankly. People trying to make an argument because I talked to other people who see really significant increase.
There, Claire Lindman, a lovely lady who lived all of her life in the beach flats, and the last 3 years of her life have been hell. She died, one of our oldest citizens in Santa Cruz. At her funeral and her service, many, many of the people were there. And I personally don't drive in the flats, Scott. It's too dangerous for me. Every once in a while, if I have my brothers or someone certainly hefty enough that they don't approach our car, I go in. Most of the time, my friends have to come out. And I want to tell you something, Scott. There is not one single person down there who will call the police because they don't want the retaliation.
I think that fact is belied by the number of service calls we get from beach flats.
The number of service calls are only when they're desperate. No one wants an officer walking to their door.
Yes, we have
Phil Bear, who's going to be calling you momentarily, says that
I haven't talked to him since yesterday.
Not been an officer down there in months, and in my darling little burned out home at 206 Park Place. The home that I love that was burned to the ground, they are dealing drugs out of there, Scott. They are dealing drugs out of there. There is no way that has stopped it. And as for the DPU, Scott, it was so long since I saw an officer down there, I wouldn't have recognized him, and that was long before I burned out.
I was saying yesterday that the standard of evidence in the county of Santa Cruz, if we want to prosecute a drug bust, we have to have three confirmed buys. Our police force has to be able to testify in court of three distinct transactions, or the DA won't even take it to trial. I'm not criticizing the DA. He doesn't have the staffing either. The point is, uniformed police don't make confirmed drug buys. This notion that the only policing is the officer on the street in uniform, I think, belies the best advice we get from our law enforcement.
It's 11 minutes before noon. 11 minutes remain in this edition of the KSCO Saturday Special. My name is Michael Z. With me in the studio are Santa Cruz Mayor Scott Kennedy, a concerned citizen named Larry, and Santa Cruz KSCO talk host Ted Jefferson. If you're not on hold, folks, already waiting to be on the air, please don't call. There's only 10 minutes remaining, and we will get to everybody who is on the telephone right now. Our next caller will be Robert Norris, line 3. Robert, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. How you doing, Ted?
Hello there. How are you?
Good to hear you again. We had that long talk the other night about these crazy conduct ordinances, and I'm glad you brought up some of the points.
Well, now you have the mayor here. You can tell him exactly what's on your mind.
Unfortunately,
it wouldn't be a day in politics without both Robert Norris and Beth Johns.
Well, I'm afraid that, you know, Scott, you already know what's on my mind. You've heard it many times. It's the public, I think, that really needs to be informed on these.
Robert, have you heard Scott's explanation about what he's doing and what they're attempting to do?
Well, the real problem here is...
Did you hear him this morning?
Yes, I did.
And what did you think about that?
Well, my thought is we have, you know, a case of public bamboozling again here. Instead of real solutions, you have a case of bogus scapegoating. And if you look...
Let's be clear here that Robert Norris, who's now going to pontificate about the downtown ordinances, opposed the homeless day resource center, opposed the downtown host program, atones the police. Just be clear, if you're talking about the whole picture, Robert, let's be clear about the fact that you have opposed vocally and adamantly every single initiative the city council has taken to try to address the problems downtown.
Does not want to discuss these ordinances in a true public process. That's one of the things I'm concerned about raising. The police review has been essentially talked to death for 3 years, but these ordinances were in fact rushed in a period of 2 months. But what are these ordinances? There are four sections of the so-called abusive panhandling ordinance that have anything to do with abusive behavior. That has to do with following someone. It has to do with using abusive and foul language. It has to do with being drunk in a panhandling. Now, those are all legitimate concerns.
Do you support those four, Robert?
Sure. They're covered by existing law, Scott. And what you have instead are 20 additional sections which criminalize peaceful, non-abusive behavior. If I ask for a dime after dark in the most respectful manner possible, that's a crime. If I do so twice, I can go to jail for 6 months. I mean, let's be real about this. That's what the law says. It says if I ask for anything, any time of day, peacefully and respectfully at a bus stop, I can go to jail if I do it twice within a period of a month.
I believe that people should be allowed to go to a bus stop and get on a bus without having to be repeatedly hassled by panhandlers. They can be 5 feet away with a sign or asking for a contribution without any interruption, but I believe that people should have the right to step onto a public bus without having to wade through a gauntlet of panhandlers.
The traditional Santa Cruz environment. We're not talking about
Robert, this is Larry. So the traditional Santa Cruz environment is that people stand on the street corners and accost their fellow citizens for money. That is the tradition. Is that what you wish to inform the world that the traditional Santa Cruz environment is?
Let's look at the word accost. We have an assault law which makes it illegal, it's a state code, to put people in fear of their safety.
Okay, then Robert, very succinctly, if a man...
Hey, wait a minute. Anybody who feels that way can file a complaint.
Robert, we were very interested in structuring in Santa Cruz an alternative to prosecuting people for misdemeanor assault, because I have no interest in somebody going to jail for 6 months because they tried to aggressively panhandle. We're creating a whole different layer.
And the reason I don't believe that's the case is because your police department has arrested at least a dozen people on infraction offenses that are being treated as misdemeanors by the courts. And I'm not talking about misdemeanors. In fact, they're infractions under city codes. And
Robert,
the reason
if there's...
all this is happening is because the city and the council are refusing to address the paramount issue which homeless people are concerned with, namely the right to sleep somewhere legally. And when a demonstration occurred to dramatize that point downtown, the response of the council was to criminalize the demonstration. Half of those laws...
Robert, and I'll tell you, your position that to accost someone is not intimidating and is not assault, I would cite to you that a 200-pound white male between the age of 18 and 25 who or literally any age, who walks up to a 65-year-old elderly woman who weighs around 100 pounds, towers over her and asks her for change. In her mind, she is being assaulted. And if you refuse to acknowledge that, then you're not putting yourself in the other person's shoes at all.
Yeah, the reason you're not hearing Robert is because I cracked the pot all the way down. It was just barely cracked open. Robert, thanks for calling. I promised everybody else I'd get a chance to be on the air. There's only 5 more minutes left. Arthur, your turn. You're on the KSCO special.
Yeah, I just want to thank the mayor for putting himself in this position.
Thank you.
Before I start, but it's appreciated. I've been coming down to Santa Cruz all my life, and I'm a resident here now. When UCSC was being built, my dad said, "There goes the town," and it seems like he was right on the button. I used to go downtown down to Main Street with my wife and walk up and down and enjoy the malls or enjoy the window shopping, and every so often we'd go in and buy something. I wouldn't do that now, and I won't do that now because of the transients or the local hangout people that that stay on the Pacific. Also, I think that people, if the police can't catch crime in action or drug transactions in action, I can only suggest that the public get some video cameras and start videoing these things and turning them into the police. And I was out yesterday walking around, and I got into a conversation with two women that were painting the back of a building, and they were part of a volunteer graffiti force.
Yes.
And they said that they had given one woman said her husband had given $1,500 as part of a $3,000 attempt at buying some video equipment to video graffiti artists. And do you know what's been done with the other 1,500? Well, there's 1,500 there, and they were hoping to get 1,500 more. Do you know what's happening on that?
I spoke with the police department probably a month or 6 weeks ago about the video camera, and I had the impression from them that the, that they were gathering the funds to make this acquisition.
Okay,
if there's
well,
a problem with that, again, I'd ask you to call my office. I'll give you the number, and we can follow up on it, because
okay.
My impression is that that's moving forward. It's 429-3550.
Arthur, thanks very much for calling. Badger, it's your turn.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, I was just curious. You guys were talking about these three proposed, or are they already planned movie theaters downtown? And I was just curious if that's going to be cause for probably a lot more loitering.
No, but I...
A lot of industrial, let's say Costco's, Home Depot's, some, that's productive. Give us wholesale prices, but let people go down there and spend their money, and you guys can collect a lot more money versus movie theaters that might just bring in a lot more, trash, you might say.
Yeah.
Let
me say, I didn't want to create a misimpression. I know what I said, and I can understand the misunderstanding. At one time, what I meant to say is we had three competing theater sites. Right now, two theater sites have received approval, and I think that the clientele they'll bring in will be productive for the whole community. I don't think... the problems that you anticipate will be exacerbated. At the same time, we've also taken, I think, significant action with the Costco and other developments.
Roger, Badger, thanks for calling. Now it's Roger's turn. Roger, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Michael, I think it's appropriate that you crack the pot on that crackpot Norse.
Oh, okay.
Do you mean that to be a pun?
No, it just sort of slipped out, actually. In fact, Robert must have been calling from real close by, because no matter how... I potted down the volume. It wasn't enough. It still sounded distorted, and it was, for all the time he was talking, it was just cracked open, so I finally cracked it closed.
Yeah, well, you're the first one in a long line of pots that need to be cracked, I'll tell you.
Okay, Roger.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention to the mayor that he seems genuinely concerned about the crime problems, but I think if he's really serious about doing something about it, especially with the beach flats and all the hot spots that Al mentioned, that it'd be real simple. All he has to do, if he needs more police and more funding for this, is to start defunding all of his political crony organizations, like Arnie Fishman and all those people. Stop wasting our public funds on things that are not for a public purpose when there's a more urgent public purpose, like public safety, which takes precedence. It's real simple.
I appreciate that you disagree about the priority given to social service programming. Let me just say that I and most of the other candidates elected to City Council in Santa Cruz are outspoken in our support of these programs. We enjoy the support of the vast majority of people in the City of Santa Cruz who elect us and re-elect us because they want the City of Santa Cruz to try to step in very modest ways to backfill the lack of support from the state and federal governments to fund these programs. The City of Santa Cruz shouldn't be in the business, but we've got in the business because the county, state, and federal governments have forfeited their role in that regard.
I wish we could go on forever here, Roger.
Well, you're going to have to make a decision because we can't do everything. Which is more important? Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Roger. 30 seconds, Ted. Go ahead.
All right. Mayor, I wanted to ask you if you have an affirmative action program in the City of Santa Cruz.
We do have an affirmative action program, a affirmative action committee within the city, and it's staffed by the personnel department.
I don't want to give you another problem, but history has shown that personnel departments cannot adequately maintain or even supervise an affirmative action program.
But we're obviously going to have to continue this on another program. Thanks, Mayor Scott Kennedy, for being with us and assuming the hot seat here. Thanks, Larry, Concerned Citizen. Thanks, Ted Jefferson. This is KSCO Saturday Special.